Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. I'm David Dye. My guest Joan Osborne is best known for her 1995 album Relish. That work spawned the ubiquitous hit One of Us and seemed to turn the New York-based performer into an international sensation. Since that debut, Osborne has released several albums. She's also joined the Grateful Dead's touring ensemble and appeared in the film and soundtrack for Standing in the Shadows of Motown. Joan's eclectic experience speaks to her unusual breadth as a performer, plus her vocal range seems to suit any genre. Joan Osborne is out with a new album. In fact, on this one, she's reunited with her Relish collaborators. It's called Little Wild One. Let's begin our World Cafe session with a live performance of the opening track. Here's Hallelujah in the City. Joan Osborne is playing live for us today, and that is Hallelujah in the City, which is the first song on the new album called Little Wild One, an album that was put together with some of the same folks who put together Relish, the album that we may well know best from Joan. And I mentioned that to you the other day when I saw you about working together, and you said it was it kind of came up. It was not a real plan.
Yeah, it wasn't like a premeditated thing. It's just Eric Bazilian, who was one of the main songwriters and guitar players for Relish, and he actually wrote the song What If God Was One of Us. He and I just happened to be talking and emailing each other, staying in touch, and said, oh, we should get together and try to do some writing, just the two of us. So I came down here to Philly, where he lives and is based, and we were just kind of spending a couple days working on stuff. And then Rob Hyman, who is his bandmate in the Hooters and also lives here in Philly, you know, I think he just came by to borrow an amp or something, and then we, you know, ended up just sitting all three of us together, and it just kind of fell back into this familiar pattern of us doing stuff together. And, you know, after 4 or 5 hours of that, I kind of looked around and said, someone is missing here. And it was really the impetus to contact Rick Chertoff, who produced the Relish record, and that's kind of how the whole thing happened. It was really just sort of an accidental thing.
Well, it's interesting that this album comes out of Philadelphia, because certainly in that song and throughout the record, there are so many references to New York City in the album, yeah. Which is, of course, where you've lived forever. But
yeah, and it's, you know, I'm a huge fan of Walt Whitman, the poet Walt Whitman, who did live and write much of the time in New York City and has a lot of references to New York. And just, I guess, you know, maybe in the aftermath of 9/11, it gave me sort of an idea to return to his work, and also just have a renewed appreciation for the city. And so I think that was very much inspiring me, and that's why a lot of the lyrics are very New York centric.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, why don't you do a couple more from the new one? What do you want to do next?
This is a song called Sweeter Than the Rest.
The sun in my eyes, and I cross the borders between continents in the cathedrals of New York and Rome. There is a feeling that you should just go.
In my intro today, I mentioned that our guest Joan Osborne could sing just about anything, and she's just demonstrated that with three songs, the first three from her new disc. So when you first came to New York City from Louisville, you didn't come to sing, but what did you originally do? You mostly did blues and R&B?
Well, I did not come to sing at all. I was attending New York University, and that's why I came to live in New York City, and was studying filmmaking, and in particular documentary filmmaking, and that's really what I thought I was going to do with my life. And just, you know, again, another happy accident. I just happened to stumble into this great music scene that was happening at the time, and went to an open mic night with somebody who dared me to sing, and I got up and sang, and just was really captivated by that and by the music that was going on around me in New York at the time. So I kind of got sucked into it.
Joan, you've been through something that not that many people we have on the World Cafe have been through, which is having a hit song that was kind of, the song itself kind of transcended even you in some ways, because the song, I mean, there were people who were thinking the Prince wrote it because Prince did it, and one of us. What did that do to your life, and did it take a while to recover? Or
I still haven't recovered, David. Can't you tell? Well, you know, it's definitely a little bit of a double-edged sword to have, you know, a hit of that magnitude. On the one hand, it's, you know, it's wonderful, and you get lots of attention, and you gain lots of new fans, and we were able to travel all over the world to places that, you know, I would never have been able to perform without the recognition that that song brought. But it is, there's a certain level of invasiveness to your private world and your private mind space that comes with that, that I found a little bit difficult to deal with. You know, I'm sure other people might think it's great, but I guess I'm just more of a private person and need that downtime to sort of recharge, and there just really wasn't any for a big chunk of time. So, you know, it was great to have that success, and I, you know, and to a certain extent, I feel like I'm still, you know, reaping the benefits of that, to have been able to have a long career. But I don't really miss those sort of white hot days of being in that spotlight all the time.
I don't think people realize how incredibly busy you become in your life at that time. I mean, you must have had to sing that three or four times a day, every day, forever.
Yeah, well, you know, the song itself, I don't have a problem with. It's great. It was just sort of the fact that there wasn't a time, there wasn't any moment where I could just sort of relax and not have somebody sticking a microphone or a camera in my face or expecting me to do this or that. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm whining and complaining, because nobody likes to hear somebody who got famous complain about how rough it is to be famous.
It is, you know? True.
But it just, there were things about it that were not my cup of tea. That's all I'll say.
Well, let's talk about the totally good things. Your how did having your daughter affect your career? It must have put it in kind of a whole different perspective.
Well, gosh, I don't know, career-wise, I think the one thing that I have noticed, is that, you know, I do spend a lot of time caring for her, and that cuts down the amount of hours a day that I can work on writing new material and things like that. But in a way, it's been a good thing, because I've always been one of those people who will procrastinate for weeks and weeks and weeks and be like, oh, yeah, that one line of that song, you know, think about it for 6 months. And you don't have that kind of time when you're raising a child. So it's just, all right, I got 2 hours. I got to write a song. Let's get in there and do it. And I found that it really was very helpful to me in my work habits to just kind of rein me in on all my procrastination. So that's a good thing. And just emotionally, I think, you know, there are things that you go through as a parent that allow you to reach into your, you know, your heart, for lack of a better word, more deeply than you ever knew that you could. And, you know, any kind of opportunity like that for an artist is a great thing to deepen your knowledge of yourself and the way that you feel about people and the world.
You know, it's interesting to watch you sing. You seem to really get into every song. And I'm wondering, is there a difference in the intensity of your, you know, getting into the lyric or whatever it is, as to whether or not you've written it or not, or does it matter?
Well, it's funny. We were just having a discussion about this in the van, myself and the band, on the way over here. I sometimes find it's easier to sing other people's words because I don't have that attachment to it of, oh, it's supposed to be like this, or, you know, that bridge, I never really got that thing right and I wish I could change it. And you don't have those kind of attachments to someone else's song. You choose it because you love it and because you feel like you want to sing it, whereas your own stuff is maybe a little bit more, I don't know, weighted with baggage.
Right. Joan Osborne is our guest, and we're hearing some of the new music and more from the new album, Little Wild One. And you got that list, Joan, so what's next?
Well, we did think we would, since we're referring to Relish a lot, we did think we would do a song from Relish. If you think that's a good idea?
Sounds great to me. Anybody?
You guys? All right. I'll take that as a yes.
Joan Osborne finishing up our session with St. Teresa, a tune from her 1995 album Relish. Joan Osborne has just released Little Wild One on the Time Life label. I'm David Dye, World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. It's produced at WXBN in Philadelphia and xbn.org. You can hear complete performances from today's session by visiting worldcafe.npr.org. Thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.